Back here on In Focus, here on News Radio KMAN, 946 here, and coming up tonight, again, the City Commission has a meeting out at City Hall. We've gone through the agenda. There is an executive session tonight, and I know that is for you, the City Manager's annual review.
It is, yep.
Is this something you you kind of don't look forward to, or how does that work?
No, it's usually a very good session where we have some good discussion about you know, what are some things we've done good and what are some things we need to work on. So obviously I've got five bosses that first time that they can really sit together in confidence and give me their hopefully majority opinion on some things I want to work on. So it's usually a very good conversation, and I look forward to it.
She's being kind, but there's nothing worse than having five bosses, let me tell you.
Answering to a whole board, yeah, that's pretty, but you're used to it.
I'm used to it.
Yeah, you've been through this a few times. So, all right, well, that'll be towards the end of the meeting here tonight, the executive session. The other items here, let's take a look at the consent agenda. There's quite a bit of different things on there.
There are. Of course, this is December, so we don't do a lot of licensing in the city, but for those that we do, it's always the time that we renew those for the following years. So there's a lot of those in areas, things like merchant guards and security areas, tree maintenance, and then, of course, all our cellular malt and alcohol licenses that the commission controls. That'll be over the next couple of meetings. We have some second readings on some items. The commission approved first reading of the ordinance to adjust the water and sewer rates as well as the stormwater rates. And then we also have the ordinance that adopts the development code. And there's been some discussion on that as well lately. So between first and second reading, there's some, I would characterize them as some misunderstandings about maybe some of the things, especially in the older neighborhoods. In our traditional neighborhood overlays, there's a perception that we've basically just ignored that. And what we certainly want to emphasize to folks is that we've added a memo to the packet. So if folks are interested in that memo trying to clarify some of the issues here, there were some small adjustments. So one example is that the underlying zoning in the traditional neighborhood overlay, still it's a single-family home, and so you can't just convert that to something else. And there was a concern about that being able to – there is a little bit more lot coverage allowed in this area, but it's to give some flexibility. So as an example, the old code, you had to have an 8-foot setback from the side yards for any addition or improvement. That's been adjusted to 6. And part of this issue is you've had homes that have been in this area for decades, even before the zoning existed. And so a lot of them were non-conforming because they weren't compliant with those setbacks that were established a couple of decades ago. So this tried to bring some more of those units into conformance by giving some adjustment and really did an analysis of what are the existing single-family homes in that area and what is their character, and can you be allowed to do some improvements that make sense and is in conformance with the style of that particular home. So I think there was some misunderstanding of what the regs actually say and convey and versus what they were perceived to maybe say. So hopefully we'll clarify that. I know the commission has got quite a few emails about that, and I think this memo that clarifies what that does, certainly it is in conformance with the comprehensive plan, as we went through a lot to create those traditional neighborhood overlays, and we certainly want to protect the integrity of those older homes in those areas.
Yeah, because that was the complaint, that the MDC doesn't follow the comprehensive plan. But you know, in my mind, neither did the Board of Zoning Appeals, because that's why we had all these nonconforming things. So it's really three things that have to be aligned. And I thought the MDC did a good job of sort of compromising on that. So it's not, you know, a complete, we're going to follow the letter, the original comprehensive plan, because the Board of Zoning Appeals did not, because they allowed all these variances. And so, you know, the final product sort of blended those three things together. And I do think that you know, the clarification was needed, because some folks thought you could build some giant apartment building where a single family home is. That's not the case.
All right. Very good. You're speaking with Ron Fear and Wynn Butler here on In Focus. I see the okay, it's not a phone call, so we'll continue on the consent agenda here.
Sure. Other items on the consent agenda is we've got first reading of a couple of ordinances. One would be to allow for codify some of the processes for special events with alcohol. So we've had situations where we've expanded those roles. Used to be you had to have a confined beer garden, if you will, or confined area where that could be in a particular setting. So that's been adjusted so that instead of a confined area inside a park, if you will, that whole park now would be eligible for use. In instances where the vendor wants to branch out onto a public street or sidewalk or alley, then they'll still need a resolution approved by the commission for that specific special event. So part of this has been to streamline to allow more use on an administrative basis without having to go to the commission each time you want to have a special event with alcohol in a particular area. But so that's what this ordinance does. However, we don't have the ability to just grant an administrative approval if it's going to involve the serving of alcohol on a public street or sidewalk. Now, with the platforms, they're a little bit different, and we'll address renewals of those platforms at the next meeting, but we're actually extending the business into the street. So we're giving them a license, if you will, through that agreement to extend their business into the parking area or the street itself. So it's that is a confined area and it's a little more complicated. But if you wanted to close off the 300 block of points downtown for some type of special event and serve alcohol there, then the commission would have to approve that resolution.
All right. And that's just kind of cleaning up some of the, things that were kind of presented here during COVID. If they wanted to serve liquor out on the platform, it's fine, but you're crossing the sidewalk where it's not okay.
Right.
So this kind of, I guess, cleans that up a little bit.
It does.
All right. The other first reading has to do with salary ordinances here.
Yeah, and we had originally approved that for the employees, and every 3 years the commissioners are actually supposed to get an increase too, and we didn't get that in that ordinance, so we're amending it basically. They're getting a $20 a month raise, which isn't much. For example, the mayor's salary will go from $6,960 a year to $7,200. And then the commissioner's salaries are $5,760 going to $6,000 in this proposal. That's set by a charter ordinance to happen every 3 years is when they are eligible for that increase. And so the increased cost for the mayor is one the mayor has to do quite a bit more than other commissioners during their tenure, especially with making recommendations to fill boards, does a lot more showing up at events for dedications and welcomings. And so that's kind of the history about why the mayor gets a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay. Now, that is caused by charter ordinance, but what if it's not approved?
Yeah, so the commission just has to have this ordinance, and if they want to rescind that, they can pass legislation.
But what happens if we vote no on it? That's my question.
Well, yeah, a simple majority would approve this. So
okay.
Because each time.
I'm not in favor of it. I'll just be clear. I've been worried about all the salaries and everything. I can't see giving ourselves a raise, so I won't be supporting that one.
All right. We have a caller here. Get them in here real quick. Go ahead. You're on In Focus.
Well, I've got a question concerning large apartment buildings that are built and then a failure to pave the alleys with all the traffic in there. And I know the current plan says that it has to be taxed according to a lot or levied according to a lot if you pave an alley. But I'd like to see the commission reevaluate that. And because that would be too heavy of a burden on a single family versus in an alley where there might be 36 units in one building. with 72 cars, you know, driving up and down. So it really is disproportional now the way your plan works. But I cannot for the life of me understand how we can build these buildings and not require alleys to be paved. Hopefully the city commission can reevaluate how that is proportioned, because I have a property and I'd love to see it paved, but not at the expense of me paying, you know, an over proportion for it based on the number of living units and number of cars that are used in that alley. So I'd like to hear your comments.
I think that, you know, Public Works has always given us options on benefit districts for those alleys. And there is no, in my mind, as I recall, there's no set procedures. This has to be done this way. They can do it by, you know, number of units. You can do it by frontage. There's always three or four different options. And then the commission's just got to weigh that to come out with what's the fairest way to do it. Is that correct, Ron?
Right, there is. And how there's a – you can't technically do it based on the number of living units, I don't think. I'd have to research that one a little bit more. But there are – you can do it by square footage. You can do it by front footage, different aspects. So – typically, the general rule has been if the improved apartment relies on the alley for its direct access, then they're required to pave their portion of it. So the issue there is that, you know, it's kind of to the center line of you know, how much do you make that stick now? And it doesn't make a lot of practical use if you just force them to improve the whole alley, even adjacent to their property. Now, if they're on the whole block, that works pretty good. But also, if the other half block on the other side isn't doing any improvements, they're certainly getting a significant benefit by that alley improvement. And we really, we used to do some piecemeal work, and it just doesn't work very good with drainage. And you know, the alleys are old enough that if you're going to do it, you ought to redo the whole alley. And so we try to set up benefit districts and find a fair way to accomplish that by those split shares. And so it is a topic, and there are some that are pending. The City Commission has formed a couple of public hearings and passed some benefit districts to try and create those improvements in a fair way. So appreciate the call.
All right. Some good participation today. Thank you for all the calls here this morning. Thank you to Ron Fear. Thank you to Wynn Butler for being here as well. City Commission meets at 7 o'clock tonight, and we'll look forward to seeing that. Thanks, guys.
Yep, thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.
Coming up tomorrow, we'll be chatting with our guests from Pottawatomie County Schools, Kevin Logan and Greg Mann in Rock Creek and Wamego, and then also Jim Jeanette, Manhattan Area Technical College.